Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. We're here live again Monday night with another edition of TJ Slideways Live, coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios here just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We kick off tonight's show with a bit of breaking news that came out today. Our first guest just announced that he is extending his sponsorships with FVP and Casey's General Stores for the 2014 season. And Brian Brown joins us again on the line. Brian, first of all, congratulations on extending what's turned out to be a really great relationship for your race team.
Yeah, you know, it's a very happy day for our whole race team. You know, I have great partners, you know, for the seventh year, going into our seventh year with obviously SCP and our third year with Casey's General Store. It's couldn't ask for two better partners. They give us everything we need to go out and be competitive, you know, run an 80, 90 race schedule. And, you know, they're great people. They're not just, we don't really feel like they're just great people. They're great. They feel like they're part of our family too. So that's cool. We're just excited for what the future holds. We feel like that we're just, we're still in the upward swing, and feel like we still got a lot left to prove, a lot left to go out there and win some big races, and you know, contend for every night we show up.
And you mentioned that this is extended again, and you run 80 or 90 times a year. So what is the plan for your race team now? Is it going to be more of the same where you run a variety of different series and stay within the region? Are you guys going to travel a bit more? What's the plan for your team for next season?
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably still continue to do what we've been doing. You know, it seems to fit both Casey's General Store and FCP's marketing schemes. You know, along with, you know, Searsboro Telephone Company and Impact and Impact4800.com and Pittsfield Chancer and Champion Oil and Smiley's and Weld Wheels. That's the cool part about almost all of our partners. They're all Midwestern companies. So does us really no good to run the full outlaw deal and go to Canada or go to Pennsylvania a lot or whatnot. We'll go out early on the West Coast trip, and the car will be have a primary sponsorship of SCP when we're out there, because they have a lot of customers and employees we're going to entertain. And we'll get back to the Midwest. It'll be majority of the races will be Casey's General Store as a primary sponsor. So we're just very lucky to have. I know a lot of guys would give their right arm to have one primary, and we've got two great companies that help our team a ton. Along with, I think we counted up the other day, we have 50 different partners on our team one way or the other, whether it's cash or product or discount or whatnot. So we feel very fortunate. We were able to win 16 races this year, and I don't think it'd be possible at all without the help of every single person. And it takes us all as a whole to be able to do it. And, you know, it says Brian Brown Racing on the truck door, but at the end of the day, I'm just a small piece of it. You know, I've got great help with Chad Morgan and Travis Marsh, and like I said, all those partners that believe in us and choose to be with our race team, that we could, without them, we definitely couldn't do it.
And we're starting to see ASCS is on television, and the World of Outlaws just launched their taped away television program. How important is the television side for you personally when you're playing out your schedule each season?
It's big, you know. It's definitely, you know, when you put, you know, great talks on your team, put them on your car. The key is you've got to figure out a way through, whether it's business to business or, you know, entertaining customers or whatever, to give them a return on their investment. You can't just put a sticker on the side of the car and say, "Oh man, hopefully we'll sell you a lot of FCP batteries or Casey's pizza." You've got to have a plan. And definitely when you can touch big audiences like, you know, like MAV TV can with ASCS or TBS Sports can with the World of Outlaws, it's huge. And, you know, it's good when, you know, even when you don't have the TV, you have racingboys.com and you have, you know, Dirt Vision. So TV is very important, I feel like, for our sport. I don't think our sport's built around live TV. I think what the Outlaws have did is probably the smartest thing I've seen in a while. They picked a time slot of Sunday night at 9 Eastern, and it's going to be on for 8 or 9 straight weeks. That's the key. It's no different than when you're a kid. And I was a kid growing up, watching Thursday Night Thunder on ESPN. You knew every Thursday night he was coming on. I think that's the key, is we want to bring new partners, new sponsors into our sport, and obviously new fans. But to introduce them to it, they got to know when they can watch it on TV. And I think that was a great move by the Outlaws. And I think our sport right now is as strong as it's been. Every Outlaw show you go to, they're sold out, you know, with the TV packages coming on. And obviously, STP being part of the World of Outlaws, Lucas Oil being part of the ASCS series, I feel very, very strong, very happy about where our sport is and where it's going. And like I said, just tickled. It's a good day for us, tickled to death to be able to resign. Obviously, Casey's an FCP. It's I always tell people it's tough to get sponsors, and even tougher, I believe, to make them happy and keep them. And just glad they believe in us and believe in our team, but more importantly, believe in us for us to go out and represent such great brands.
And one thing I've noticed, you mentioned you've had FVP for 7 years, and we hear so many people complain about it's the economy when you look at lack of sponsorship or lack of involvement. You've managed to keep a sponsor happy through the Great Recession. What can you attribute that to? I know you probably can't credit it to one thing because it's an entire package, but what extra things do you think you guys offered that kept those people happy through what was probably some difficult times for companies to spend money on things like sprint car racing?
That's a great question. I feel like the main thing is just having the understanding, you got to treat this, everybody wants to go have fun and, I think it's a big party, but you've got to treat this like a business, and you've got to really find out deep down what their goals are and really what are we trying to accomplish here. And, I think FVP is very unique. That we do a lot of, meaning FVP and myself and our team, we do a lot of entertaining customers at these events and, bringing, having sales contests that lead to those customers getting tickets to these events, and with a hospitality tent with tickets to the race, and with a meet and greet with myself, and I think we just have they hold me accountable as much as anything to make sure that they are getting a return on their investment, and the Knoxville Nationals, we brought 700 customers to that race, and I think it's just like I said a bit ago, it's not just put a sticker on your car and hopefully that works. And we were really looking for, I said this the day we signed with FVP, is we're looking for 20-year partners, not 1-year sponsorships. And I think sometimes everybody's just looking for that 1-year sponsorship, and maybe they lose sight of what's really important. That's making sure you're looking out for those sponsors. And if you take care of them, hopefully those, 7 years with FVP and these three years with Casey's will turn into 20-year partnerships. And Ditzfield Transfer, my good buddy Ronnie Ditzfield, was my first ever sponsor, and he's still a partner on my car. Impact4800.com was my second ever sponsor on my car in 2000. So I just felt like we've always did a pretty good job of not abusing people and just making sure we do the best we can to get them a return and make them feel important and connect. The big thing is too, is connect business to business. If you have a trucking company and a company that hauls parts, team them up. And I think that's a key too. So, I can't really put my finger on one thing, but I think it's just a variety of things that we work real hard on, just making sure, we do everything we can to try to make them be successful also.
Another thing I've noticed, I really noticed it during Nationals Week this year, is I couldn't turn on a radio in the Knoxville area and not hear where Brian Brown was making an appearance or where you were going to see Brian Brown that day. I go to the Hall of Fame, I walk by Casey's General Store at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and there's Brian Brown under a tent waiting to meet customers right there. How difficult is it to balance an aggressive appearance schedule like that and be everywhere you need to be? Because it seems like you do a really good job of it, and you do more appearances, I think, than just about anyone else I know of, especially that week.
Yeah, it's something that I've always, I'm a fan first. And I felt like that, I've always just never want to lose those values of kind of where I came from and, who I am. And I feel like the best way for me to do that is to be out there and be accessible. I think a lot of these drivers feel like that, you know, the fans owe us something, and I feel just the opposite. I feel like we owe the fans. Without the fans' support and without them buying our T-shirts and being there and supporting us, couldn't be racing for $150,000 to win the Knoxville Nationals or $10,000 to win or $12,000 to win this coming weekend. So I feel like that I want to be, people's champ, so to say, and be accessible and make those people feel like that I'm one of them. And the only difference is at 6 o'clock, they go to the grandstands and have a beer, and I go to the pit area and put my race uniform on. Other than that, there's no difference. I'm the kind of guy you come up and talk about the races, talk about how good the races was last night, talk about the weather, talk about the Kansas City Chiefs or whatever. I'm just as ordinary as they get. Just got lucky enough to be able to drive race cars for a living and have great partners that believe in us. So maybe next year on Saturday I may take a little bit different approach. A lot going on Saturday at the Knoxville Nationals for me and my team. And like Saturday this year, I was up at 7 o'clock in the morning and I didn't quit moving until 1 o'clock that night or 2 o'clock that night. And maybe I was a little bit more mentally exhausted come race time than I felt like I needed to be. And may kind of cut back a little bit. I'm not going to cut it all out, but maybe cut back where I can at least maybe get a nap in the afternoon a bit, just to kind of get a little, recharge my batteries a little bit, because it felt like maybe going into the night I was just wore out, and not wore out physically, just mentally wore out. So not saying that's what lost us the race, but I want to give our team every chance we can of being the best we can, and I need to be on the 100% of my game also.
And of course, we have the World Finals coming up this week. A big event there is after World Finals. Do you have anything lined up for the rest of the year? Are you going to maybe go overseas and do a little racing, or are you just going to spend the off season getting your team ready for 2014?
No, I would love to be able to go do some stuff in Australia, and I've got some options out there to be able to do that. We're going to be moving our shop closer to where we live. Our shop's about an hour away right now at my parents' place, and we're going to move it closer to where we live in Grain Valley, and we're going to have a lot of stuff going on there. So the way I look at it, way my grandfather's always beat it in my head is you win your races in the winter, not the summer. And we've won 16 races this year, and if we want to win 18 or 20, we've got to work harder than we did last year. So that's the good thing about it. I've got a great team, like I mentioned before, and Chad Morgan and Travis Marsh that worked their tails off and believe in me. And we just got to keep working. I think that's the key is no matter what, just we may not have the most talent, but we just got to outwork everybody else. And I feel like that we've got the team to do it. And so to answer your question, I don't see myself going to Australia for a long period of time. Maybe I'd like to go do the Classic where I can, be eligible for the World Challenge at the Knoxville Nationals. But other than that, a lot of stuff we do in the off season too with our partners. FDP has their national sales conference in Minneapolis in January, where they bring in all their employees and talk about the upcoming year and talk about the previous year. And we always go there and speak, and we definitely want to go do that and thank them for their support of our race team.
And your other sponsor, Casey's General Stores, they kind of kept us fueled, I joke, during the Nationals, because that's usually where we went to before and after the Nationals to get fueled up with food. So Brian Brown walks into Casey's General Store. What's your go-to item?
Man, you can't beat the pizza. It's probably my favorite pizza. It is my favorite pizza. You can either go with the taco or just the pepperoni. And I like they've got subs now, and that's something that's really popular, and it's I really enjoy those too. So you can't really go wrong. That's the cool thing about it. Being someone like a general store, if you need toilet paper or you need milk or you need a Red Bull, they've pretty much got it all. So it's definitely a one stop shop. And like I said, it's a great partnership with them. You can't find anybody that's more dedicated to motorsports than Casey's General Store, especially in our area. And I know they can pick any single racer out and call them up and ask to sponsor them. And I'm just very, very thankful that they have chosen to be that guy. And I know how important that Knoxville Nationals is to Don Lamberti, which is the founder of Casey's, and Bob Myers, which is the CEO now. And there's nothing more I'd like than to give them a Knoxville Nationals trophy. I can guarantee that.
And one more question about the World Finals. We go to a lot of races, and like especially a World of Outlaws show, maybe a one, maybe a two division show. There might be a side division that has like maybe three or four races. But the World Finals, you have three headline divisions, and you have a lot of time between the races. How does that change your approach? Do you have to stay up on the racetrack a little more with that many high horsepower cars, maybe changing the surface? Is there a little different approach to that race?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you don't really think about it until, you know, guys like you mentioned it. And I think, you've got to, the race, the track changes throughout the night, and they seem to do a good job on keeping up on the track prep and stuff like that too. So I think that's something you really got to pay attention to, because the track can change so much. And, we were able to lead all but one lap on the first lap. First night last year, and then run fifth on the second night. So we've had some success there last year, and I'm going to go back to our notebook and, you know, try to get dialed in and, you know, try to end the year on a good note, winning a couple of those races. But, yeah, you really got to keep up on it. And I think that's what me and my team do. Yeah. We definitely keep up on the changing of the track conditions, and I think that sometimes that can change throughout the night and even throughout the race. You really got to be on your toes and make all your decisions count.
And one final question. We do have – it's not really an off-season, but while we're not racing as much in the winter, what are you going to do to unwind? Are you going to go to a couple Chiefs games? Are you going to take in something else in the area, maybe do a little hunting, a little snowmobiling? What's Brian Brown going to do to maybe unplug for at least a couple of days before we pick up with all this racing again?
Yeah, seems like the racing just kind of takes a lot of your time, and if you want to be successful, you've gotta treat it like when you gotta eat, sleep, breathe it. You wake up in the morning, you gotta think about it. When you go to bed, you gotta think about it, and you know, do anything in between. When we're not doing that, I definitely it's a good time to be a Kansas City Chiefs football fan. I will probably hit a couple of those games. My stepdaughter goes to the University of Missouri, so they're having a pretty good football season too. So, me and my dad will go deer hunting a bit. So, just trying to maybe unwind for a day or so. But there's not that race, and like I said, just those races like the Knoxville Nationals that you didn't win. Those are the ones that keep that fire burning throughout the winter. So. About a week or two off, and you'll be chomping at the bit, want to get back at it. So it'll be a little downtime, but the main thing is just keep our eye on the goal, and that's to keep continuing to win races and represent our sponsors well. And the biggest was of them all is to win the Knoxville Nationals.
Well, maybe we'll end up with a Kansas City Detroit football World Series or Super Bowl, and then we can get into talking smack about that a little bit. But Brian,
we'll take Megatron if you don't want him. I can guarantee that.
No, that's okay. We like him. We're gonna hang on to him. But Brian, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the great sponsor renewal announcement, and best of luck at the World Finals this weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it. And just want to thank obviously again SCP and Casey's General Store and. Don Long with Searsboro Telephone Company has been a huge part of our program, and Impact4800.com with Davey and Julie and Goodson, and Champion Brands, David Lowe, Weld Wheels, Hoosier Tires, Smiley's, Bitfield Transfer, all the people that make it happen and that believe in us, and Vortex Wings has been a big part of our program. Like I said, we've got a lot of great people. Maxim Chassis has been there since day one of Chuck and Karen Merrill. So it takes all of us to be able to go out and contend for these big events such as the World Finals coming up. And we're just a good day, and we're proud of our whole operation on such big announcements like we had today.
Well, Brian, congratulations. Best of luck, and look forward to talking to you leading into the next season.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for all you do for our sport. We sure appreciate it.
All righty. Brian Brown, and look, he got all the sponsored plugs in. We didn't even have to hit the Oscar music on him. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Joyce Dandridge is going to talk about her new book, available at Coastal181.com. She will be up next. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. And my next guest is an author, a writer for Speedway Illustrated, and also has books including Win It or Wear It, and also Ken Schrader's autobiography, Gotta Race, and her latest work, Did You See That? It's an interesting combination of pictures and stories of open wheel racing in the Midwest. And Joyce Dandridge, we were just talking off the air that your goal with this book is kind of a pick it up and put it down, enjoy it the more you have it. And that's exactly what I found I've done with it. I looked through it first. I thought, well, this is pretty neat. And the more I came back to it, it seems like the more I enjoyed it.
that was the goal. And I'm amazed because it's like you sat in on the planning meeting that we had when we were deciding what we were going to do with this book. We just had access to these incredible photographs, and for us, the experience was every time you looked at the picture, you saw more or something different, or it maybe created a new emotion for you in looking at it. And the great thing was we had stories that went with these wonderful pictures, and they were short stories usually, just really cool little anecdotes that would tell you something that you probably wouldn't know just by looking at the picture. So that was our goal, was we wanted people to come back to the book again and again and again and always get a little something more from it each time.
And what I found interesting is I flipped through the book, and there were photos I hadn't seen, but there were a good partial of them because growing up in the sport that I had seen before, but like you'd mentioned, the stories behind them were the most interesting part, because quite often I'd see that photograph of maybe like Ron Milton from somewhere in Illinois or Little Springfield. I'd be like, oh, there's that picture. But what you've done is you've tied in all these great stories with them. And one question I had is, how hard was it to narrow down the field for that book and to narrow down which stories to put in it?
It was extremely difficult, actually. We began with, and we did not do an exact count, but we began with somewhere in the neighborhood of about 5,000 photos. And the scope of the book was 170 pages. That was 5,000 photos, and I would say 4,000 of them were extraordinary. They had a story that went with them, and there was something in the photo that just called to you. Sometimes it was because they were a sequence and something was happening in each picture. So it made it very, very difficult to bring it down to, we have 465 photos, and it was difficult to get it down. But we also wanted to get some variety. The majority of the photos in here are by Alan and Kevin Harker, who are the Crash Kings. You know, I can remember years ago at Little Springfield, they would walk in the gate and you could just hear this moan run through the pit area, because wherever they went, as people would always say, somebody's going over tonight. And they captured them, and they did that for many, many years. But we didn't want this to be only about crashing, because crashing is just part of what is appealing to some people for racing. These pictures are just so sharp and so clear and so crisp and usually caught in the middle of the crash, so that it gives them a little more interest than just your run-of-the-mill crash picture. But racing is about a whole lot of other things, and so we expanded on and brought on board other photographers and some of their best work. And we wanted funny pictures, we wanted action pictures, we wanted just something that brought in the whole spectrum of racing, including we have pictures of the grandstand, we have pictures of the fair that's going on outside the racetrack. The idea is that we've captured a period of time, and that later on, as people look back at this book will have captured all that is appealing about racing, not just the wild and fantastic crashes.
How is it different putting together a book like that versus, let's say, the book you did with Schrader? You know, when you're putting together a coffee table book, because you're not sitting there just hammering away, maybe it's, you know, telling someone's story necessary and such. What's the different approach to putting together a book like that?
Oh, it's altogether completely different. For one thing, I didn't laugh as much. If you spend very much time with Schrader, you will laugh, guaranteed. And I kind of went into the Schrader book, and I also did an autobiography with Kenny Wallace. I had somewhat of an advantage in having known them for a long time and having some sense of their background, but you're kind of going in. Kenny Wallace called me Dr. Joyce by the time we got done with it, because it's kind of like being a psychiatrist. You're going through their life, and you're not asking them just what happened. You're asking them, how did it make you feel? How did this change your life? Does this lead on to other things that we're going to discuss? And so it's a kind of a different thing when you're approaching someone's life and trying to make it into something that's going to be a book that maybe it take people 4 or 5 hours to read. And we did put a lot of pictures in those books too. We've always believed that pictures have a great deal of strength to add to the story. With this one, we began with the pictures, which is the first time we've ever done that. Usually the pictures are the last thing we do. But we began with the pictures, and then we spent, and I say we, this is Lou Boyd and Kerry Stratton at Coastal 181, our publishers. We spent a lot of time just talking about, just trying to figure out how are we going to organize these? How are we going to bring some kind of sense to this? And then once we arrived at, well, maybe the way to do it is just to break them down by tracks and then type of track and what's going on and kind of do that kind of thing, then we had to go back and not only get the story behind the picture, but then we had to try to verify it. And that took a lot of time. I won't say that we're 100% accurate, but I'd say we're awfully close.
Yeah, some real interesting stories in the book available from Coastal181.com. You can check it out there. Now, to say your family's involved in motorsports would be the ultimate understatement ever. there's a few of you around Illinois. And I ask a lot of people who have been around racing for a long time and are still active in it today. This is kind of a repetitive question we've asked people. What are we doing really well as a whole with short track racing right now? And what's probably one thing we should be doing a little bit better?
You know, one of the things that I've spent a lot of time this last couple of years, seeing Midwest Open Wheel Association racing because our family's actively involved in it. So I've probably seen more of their races than any other specific sanctioning group, except maybe Power Eye. I see a lot of their races too. And what I've seen happen with MOA has made a real concerted effort to get fans interacting with the drivers as much as possible with autograph sessions, with having the drivers tossing stuff into the crowd instead of just pretty girls, and trying to bring together more and more contact. That used to be a given. That used to be a common thing because everybody went down to the pits after the races. But so many people load up and leave immediately after the races now, so a lot of that original contact is gone. Also, sometimes the races run too long, and I think that's one of the areas in which racing could get better. You can have an outstanding show that's over in 2.5 hours. You don't really have to go 5 hours. And the other thing I think that we really ought to work on is helping fans be more familiar with the equipment. There's very little hands-on contact, and I can remember in years gone by, seeing the look on kids' faces when they come down into the pits and they actually look a car over or they get the chance to sit in the car. Those kinds of things then give the cars a kind of a personality too. And I think that if more effort was made in that area, it would do nothing but make racing better.
And you'd mentioned in your area, you have two series right now that a lot of people point to as doing the right things with MOA and Power Eye. And, for a while when Mara started phasing out a little bit, I kind of wondered what might happen with the midget racing in that area. And, you know, I've seen it dry up around here and several other places. And, Wing 410 racing has dried up a lot of places. Why do you think those two series work in your part of the country?
This has always just been a hotbed for open wheel racing. I mean, we are so blessed that that's been the case. But even as tracks closed, other tracks would take on the running races and having it. I just think the people here are love it and don't want to let go. You'll find, and I give a tremendous amount of credit to Kenny Brown and what he's done with Power Eye, because it's a fabulous series. And if your listeners get a chance to see a Power Eye race, go see it. It's a lot of fun. They really do a really good job of putting on a good show, and that is the bottom line. Our product, we can talk about, you know, T-shirts in the grandstand, and we can talk about autograph sessions, but the bottom line is the racing's got to be good or people don't come back. And they've been able to do that, and you'll find that an awful lot of the people who are racing these days in Power Eye or in MOA are second and third generation racers whose fathers and grandfathers were running Slara, Mara, the racing, sprint racing that had no sanctioning group. It's a continuation. The people in this area have just refused to let it die, and we're reaping the benefits. We're seeing great racing.
Well, it's a great problem to have, joint standards. And doing back to the book, with the book, was there maybe one story or one thing that you didn't even know going into the book that you maybe got a picture that really caught you off guard that for some reason really clicked with you?
No.
Well, it's an honest answer.
Actually, yeah. There wasn't, but there were some stories that turned out a little differently than I realized. For example, there's a terrific picture of a car that's, you know, in the air, and there's grass and there's dirt flying and everything. And the guy's name is John Tosti, and he was running a race at Spoon River in Canton, Illinois. And he thought he was fine, got out. I mean, it was a wicked-looking wreck, but he got out and seemed to be fine and everything, and 12 hours later found out that he'd been walking around on a broken leg. I didn't know that, so that was one thing that I learned after that, even though I knew about the wreck. But these are familiar tracks, these are familiar people, and you know, you're not terribly surprised that so many of these guys walked away, or that they're fun and they do funny things. It was just a confirmation that this is a great sport, and these are fantastic people, and you feel like when you get done with the book, you know them a little better, and that's a good thing.
Did you see that, the latest book with Joyce Standridge and company, photographers, everything else? Joyce, if someone wants to order it, where can they find it? How can they get it to put it under the Christmas tree, or maybe just as an early present?
Well, it's a terrific idea for Christmas, and we really set up this book to be a Christmas present. And people can go to coastal181.com, which is everybody's heading spot now for books. Our friend Dave Argabright, who was on your show last week, has his books through Coastal. And the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame has been wonderful in stocking our books and is one of our biggest selling locations. And they also do a Christmas catalog that they send out, and it's in there. And, you know, if you just want to pick up the phone and get going on it, it's 1-877-907-8181.
Well, Joyce, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us tonight. And I hope you have a good, quote-unquote, off season, if that really exists anymore. It doesn't seem. I remember when there used to be a time where I'd take time off from racing. It really doesn't do that anymore. But I hope you enjoy the upcoming holiday season. Best wishes, and we look forward to seeing you somewhere down the road next season.
Well, I hope so. And thanks so much, TJ, for what you do. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Joyce. Thank you very much. That's Joyce Standridge joining us on the line. Don't forget, it's a great book. Did you see that? I've been picking it up just around the house here and there, 5-10 minutes, wherever. It's been a great addition to the family. Even my son and I sit down and look at it a little bit. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Brian Clausen's going to join us and talk about winning the USAC National Sprint Car Championship last week in California. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesonthewebcom.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
All right.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. And joining us is the now 2013 USAC National Sprint Car Champion, the Amsoil National Sprint Car Series Champion, second year in a row for Brian Clausen. Brian, first off, we have to offer our congratulations. And this year you did it with Tony Stewart Racing. How different was it doing it with someone else's team versus your own home-built team or the team that you built with your father and your family over the past few years? What's the difference between doing it with someone else versus the family team?
It's a little less control. It was a lot of fun. Kind of coming into TSR, good year for someone like myself to take over the sprint car program a little bit, in a sense that, Levi had been there for so many years and they'd always kind of been on the same program and started this year kind of revamped with nothing really the same other than, one mechanic, Brad Mariscotti. We had new chassis, a new shock package. I brought Bob East in to work on setup stuff. And it was a lot of fun to work with those guys. It was a completely different experience, I guess, than doing the family deal and worrying about paying the bills and things like that. But I had a great opportunity at Tony Stewart Racing I was happy we could bring another title home.
Now, you get a program like that, and you bring in Bob East, and you're bringing in Bob, and you've got guys like Jimmy Carr there, and all these pieces. All these people are very successful, and you'd usually see like a Jimmy Carr or somebody, on their own maybe doing this, and Bob maybe doing them on its own. What is it like to bring people like that together to try to work on a program?
It's really cool and a lot of fun because there's so much knowledge there to learn from and even being champion last year, you can still learn a lot from these guys that are legends of the sport and guys that have been around a while. You can learn a lot of different things from a lot of different people and having them all, on your team working towards the same goal is pretty fortunate situation to be in and we got a lot of great people like that at TSR.
You did win your first sprint car or your second sprint car championship this year, but you won Sprint Week. And winning a sprint week title has kind of been like the building block of this race team, it seems like, with Levi and everyone else, to springboard them to championship. How important is winning overall on sprint week towards winning that championship?
I'd have to go back and look, but obviously I think it played out to be a pretty big part. I think Dave was probably in the 40 to 60 point back range, which is where it ended up being at the end of the year. So, in the grand scheme of things, when you look back at it, that week could have been the difference. It's a huge week because it's right in the middle of the season. A lot can happen. It's really easy when you have, a bad night or two to kind of let your whole week, unravel if you unravel for 7 days straight, competition's too tough these days to make that up. So, it's a huge week. It can give you a lot of confidence or it can really beat you down. So you gotta be, pretty mentally tough and not only mentally tough, but have your, kind of all your ducks in a row to be successful during that week.
And another thing you've taken on this year is winged sprint car racing. And you've managed to win a winged sprint car race this year, and you've done more of that. And you're still in, I believe, the teens in total winged sprint car starts. So, first of all, let's talk about how the opportunity to run a winged sprint car was afforded to you and where it's gone from there.
Yeah, I don't even know that... I might just have barely broken double digits on my wing starts. I'm still pretty green as far as that goes. But, no, I had the opportunity. It's been something I'd wanted to do, and I actually did once it 2 years ago with, the Golubic family out west. But, I had the opportunity to drive for Rick Pollock, a couple times early in the year. I don't know quite how I talked my way into that deal, but, convinced him to take me to a couple wing races and ran well enough the first weekend that he brought me back for some more and I think I ran five or six races for him and then got the opportunity in the Blazing Race in Buffalo Wild Wings 82 to run a couple races back home and then now out here in Yuma this weekend. So it's been a lot of fun. I grew up around wing racing. My dad raced wing cars, so it's something that I've been around my whole life, but never had quite the opportunity to get going and driving wise. And it's been a lot of fun. I feel like it's made me better on the non-wing side. Even though I'm only 24, I've been doing the non-wing stuff for quite a long time. And it's easy to get stagnant and stale with something. So bringing in the wing stuff and adding that into what I'm doing is kept things fresh and allowed me to learn some things that maybe I wouldn't have had I not done it.
And on the wing side, you've kind of done it backwards of what we've seen a lot of people do over the years. You started your wing sprint car career pretty much running regularly, if we can call it that, in a 410 car, but now you're going back and running some 360 races. What's that like to be, okay, you're running the 410 car 10 times or so, and then you get into the 360 car. How did you have to adapt to that?
Well, I don't know that I've done a very good job of that yet, because the 1 360 race I ran didn't turn out so great, but it's just different. It's going through the learning process. I don't know that I've mastered the 410 enough yet to quite have any bad habits in a 360. All my bad habits are just bad habits. But it's been a lot of fun. The 360 stuff is, a lot more momentum and your mistakes show quite a bit, especially on the big tracks. So it's a little harder to hide, I guess, 360 racing, to hide the inexperience, I guess, in the 360 car. But I'm getting better each night and it's been a lot of fun. So I look forward to continuing to do it and hopefully continuing to get better.
So now people have asked me, with you running more wing sprint car races and you're doing all this stuff, what are you going to do next year? The season's winding down. Where are we going to see Brian Clausen in 2014?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, I'm really excited to, be back in the 20 next year at TSR. Really excited about that, continuing to build on that program and running Joe Dooling's number 63 midget next season on the midget side, and then kind of from there we'll start to fill in the wing stuff. haven't quite got far enough along on that to know, you know, what I'm going to do, you know, concrete there, but I'm going to try and add in, maybe hit 30, 40 wing races next year just to kind of complement the schedule. And there's, you know, really plenty of room for it. You know, when you look at the USAC schedules and some of the gaps that, you know, if you're running the USAC sprint car and USAC midget schedule that there are, especially during the summer, there's midweek stuff going on that, you can get to 30, 40 races in a hurry, without really, digging too much into, you know, having to travel a whole lot and push it. So, gonna try and do that. And, you know, like I said, just try to continue to get better and keep things spiced up.
And, do you have any overseas plans for this winter? Are you going to go to New Zealand, Australia, midget, sprint cars, anything to keep you busy this winter?
Yeah, heading back over to New Zealand, for my third year, I guess, in the United Truck Parts 39. Excited about that. Should be a lot of fun. It's always a great time, going over there. And then, if all goes well on the New Zealand trip, the plan is to head to Australia for the second leg of the Power Eye World Series events. I think it starts the weekend after Chili Bowl, so end of January, early February. So I'm planning on doing that, and it should be a lot of fun. They got a great kind of little format there for crowning a world champion, and I like to be a part of that.
And there are sprint car races there, so are you going to try to talk your way into a wing sprint car while you're there?
I'm searching, so we'll see. It's a little bit different over there with contracts and different things like that. So, you know, they're a little bit more restrictive on what you can and can't do while you're over there, as far as that goes. So, we'll look at trying to do some wing races if I can work it in.
And, who are your go-to people for learning the wing sprint car deal? You obviously have the boss. You can go to him. You have your dad, but outside of those two, who's someone you leaned on to help get you through the transition? And obviously you're still going through it, but who's helped you out the most besides the two obvious ones?
anybody and everybody that I know. I've been fortunate enough, well, kind of unfortunate enough, I guess, at this point, to know a lot of people that ran some wing sprint cars, because I always haggled them about running wing cars, and now they're all getting to razz on me back. They figured it out so bad. You know, all those times I spent giving them a hard time, but you know, I've been able to lean on you know, everybody from Ricky Stenhouse Jr. to Kyle Larson and Chris Bell, who I'm racing with. So you know, just try and pick everybody's brain that I can, and especially the guys that have done both, to kind of that know what that transition's like from the wing to non-wing car on night in and night out.
So if I were going to you to advise, say, hey, I'm going to run a wing sprint car, would you recommend like my third or fourth race being the Knoxville Nationals?
Well, it's probably not the smartest thing I've done, but no, you know, that's it was really more of, you know, an opportunity to just go and see what it's like. You know, I'm 100% glad I did it. Obviously, you know, we had some issues throughout the weekend and didn't necessarily run as well as we'd hoped to. But, you know, it was something that, you know, after doing it, I looked back and even after as bad of a weekend as we had, you know, and said, you know, look, if I put my mind to it, this is something that I could do and get proficient at. So it was all about managing goals. Probably a lot of people might have expected more, but that's about what I expected it to be like for us, you know, going there for the first time, only running a couple races, you know, kind of a deal that just popped up really out of nowhere and with no real preparation for the week. So, you know, the goal was to go and get laps and feel what it's like on a high-speed joint like Knoxville and shoot out of there anyway, so I figured what the heck.
And personally, I loved it, and so did the readers at TJSlideways.com. That was the third most read story the entire Nationals week, was of Brian Clausen's debut there.
Well,
so,
well, perfect. We hope to be back next year, so I'm working. That's one of the big things I have to kind of hash out in the off season is figure out how to get back to Knoxville, and it's kind of a priority as long as that. We can fit it in the schedule.
One thing, when you talk about the non-wing side of the wing side, do you think that Kokomo Clash has the potential to be a Knoxville-type-ish event? We've got a three-day show there, a great racetrack. Do you think that event has the potential to grow like into a Knoxville Nationals of non-wing racing?
I mean, within reason. You know, One, they don't, you know, you don't have 50,000 seats around Kokomo Speedway, nor can you fit 50,000 seats around Kokomo Speedway. So, you know, you're always going to be lacking that big, big, you know, the Chili Bowl isn't even Knoxville for people who've been to both. I mean, it's, Knoxville is unlike anything else. Just like Chili Bowl is unlike anything else. They're kind of their own, you know, just something about Knoxville that's special. You know, the SmackDown has the ability to become a phenomenal, marquee and on-wing event. But, you know, I don't, you know, the Knoxville Nationals is something special, and, you know, the people that go every year know what I'm talking about. It's just, it's such a crazy, amount of energy and, you know, the feeling you get when you walk into that place, on the start of Nationals week is, you know, it's hard to describe.
And that's just coming from a guy who's well-rounded in the sport, does a little bit of everything, Brian Kloss and midget, sprint car racing, Indy cars, a little bit of everything. You did the little 500 this year. Is that something we might see on your schedule again next year, or is that one you just check off the bucket list, call it good, and go winged racing somewhere else?
No, well, obviously we'll look at the schedule and see what's, you know, see what's there and you know, depending on what's around, and what, you know, what else, what other options there are that weekend. But I really enjoyed the little 500. It was a race that, I had a lot of fun and a race that I want to win someday. So, you know, it's definitely one that I want to get back to, and it's just going to be a matter of managing, you know, if I can run three wing races or the little 500, I might go wing racing. You know, little 500 is something that I've already, kind of started trying to line up something for next year and hopes that it'll work out on the schedule and, kind of go from there. But it was a fun race, and that's kind of another race that, and I don't feel like I necessarily got the full feel because it was, you know, rain delayed and the crowd on Saturday night before the rain was just, electric.
Brian Clausen joining us. I don't know if there's many drivers that we could talk to that could cover the ground that you and I just did. So, well, best of luck this weekend at the ASCS deal, and congratulations on your national championship, and safe travels overseas and over the holidays, Brian. It's been good to have you on a couple times this year, and look forward to talking to you next year.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Brian Clausen joining us on the line from somewhere in Arizona, getting ready to go wing sprint car racing. And, man, you know, it's awesome to talk to guys like that. I love talking to racers that have a schedule that matches our coverage world, where we bounce around to midgets and sprint cars, wing sprint cars, non-wing sprint cars. You know what? They're all fun, and that's the awesome part of this sport. And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I want to thank our guests Brian Brown, Joyce Standridge, and Brian Clausen for joining us tonight. Just a note, podcast later this week with Doug Leonard from the Oswegan Speedway. We're going to talk about their new sprint car class. Oshwegan's going to be breaking some new ground in Canada with their new 602 crate sprint car class. It's caused a lot of buzz over the past week or so. We're going to have a little Q&A, maybe dispel some myths and such about what the class is going to do and what they hope to have it accomplish over there at the Oswegan Speedway. Look for that probably Tuesday or Wednesday. Until then, we'll see you here next Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.